Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. It's an honor to be together, a privilege to be together and to worship together. Irvin talked about Merle's sermon last Sunday where he talked about 86,400 seconds. And what are you going to do with that? It was a great challenge. Not only that, it was a shorter sermon. And my daughter said, "Why don't you try that, Dad?" So here goes my attempt. I've been preaching through Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 2. Last time we stopped at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and we stopped and reflected on that we are God's workmanship. We are a masterpiece in the making. Whether you believe it or not, you're a masterpiece in the making. And God is bringing about circumstance in your life to make you into the person he wants you to be. Do you all believe that this morning? Raise your hand. I hope you do. I hope you can believe that this morning. That he created us, he's redeeming us, and he's perfecting us. And that journey looks different for all of us. And what you're experiencing now is part of that story of making you into the person he wants you to be. We'll continue in Ephesians chapter 2. And the title of the message today is Why the Walls? Why the Walls? We'll see what God wants to do this morning as we look at this passage 11 through 18 in Ephesians chapter 2, talking about a total church makeover. I like asking questions. It makes us think. And so I have another question for you this morning and for myself. As I've thought about this, it's really been stretching for me and heart-searching as I thought about this question. Ask God to look inside your heart, in the deep corners and crevices of your heart. Ask your best friend to give you some feedback. Do you see me as a person who shows partiality to anyone? Do you see me as a person who shows partiality to anyone? Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 18. Wherefore remember that when ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the times ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh, that through him we both may have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What an incredible passage as we look into God's word this morning. He starts out with remembering who we were. We're doing a lot of remembering in Ephesians, the first three chapters. It calls us to remember who we were. Remember. He's talking to the believers here, so he says, remember who you were. Never forget that. Remember that he is the creator and we are the created. Never forget that. I think when we lose that perspective of he's the creator and we're the created, the devil has a heyday in our lives, in our world, in our churches. Before Christ, God dealt with the nations of the world through his people, the Jews, the Israelites. Who are the Jews? They are descendants of Abraham. Before or after the garden, In Genesis 11, it talks about they were going to build a tower, and God destroyed that, we know. And he scattered the people all over the world. And races became developed through that time, and nationalities. And we have the first mention of the Jews in 2 Kings, where he talks about the Jews. Before that, they were basically the Israelites and descendants of Abraham. But they were people God chose to represent himself to all the nations. They were to be a holy people, a separate people. So who are the Gentiles? This passage talks about the Jew and the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles were anyone outside of the Jews. And most of us, probably all of us here today, are Gentiles and not Jews. And God is taking, in this passage, God is giving the picture of taking the Jews and the Gentiles and making one people, a new man. Let's move back in time a little bit. This is a big deal. And it may be hard for us to imagine, but it was a big deal back in that time. The Gentiles were everyone who was, like I said, not a Jew, and they were separated from God. They were, as the passage says, aliens from God. The Jews were born out of Abraham. They were to represent and proclaim the one true God to the world, to the nations, the one true living God, and that through them the Messiah would come, the Redeemer would come to the world. God's intent was for Israel to be a distinct people, a separate, a holy people, of which the Redeemer, the Messiah, and the Savior would come. They were to be a testimony to the world around them of the one true God. But the Jews often failed at their mission to represent God well, as we know their story of their ups and their downs, of remembering God and forgetting God. And God used the other nations to punish them. And we know a lot of the stories. And their desire to be like the rest of the world, the rest of the nations around about them. We know their story of how they were up and down many, many times. In the New Testament especially, they became an exclusive club, exclusive people with super spiritual, prideful demeanors about them and how they appeared to other the nations around them of a super spiritual people. In the New Testament, if you were not a Jew, you were known as a Greek or a barbarian or a Gentile. And then there were the Samaritans, who were the half-Jews. And they were a hated people as well. They were despised by the Jews. I want you to think about the two different people here. You have the Jews, who were God's chosen people to represent him to the world. You have the Gentiles, who were not. They were outside. They were aliens. Now you think about this passage of bringing those two people together, that salvation is for all people, for everyone. The Jews, as we see in the New Testament, took a lot of their rituals, especially circumcision, and used it as an exclusive club-like. And that they called themselves circumcised, and anyone else they called uncircumcised. So we can see how they took pride in who they were as God's people, as God's special people, to the point where the Gentiles were turned off from God by the people God had set up to deliver their message. Think about that, that the Gentiles were turned off by the people God had sent to deliver their message. Think about that for a moment. The Jews had an awesome privilege to represent God, the one true holy God. They were given that privilege to represent him to the world. And so many times they failed and dropped the ball. So what about us? As God's children, chosen to represent the King of Kings to the world. How are we doing? There were cultural differences as well between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I said it's probably hard for us to put ourselves what this really means, that the gospel is for the Jew and the Gentile. It's hard for us to maybe to put ourselves in that situation. But just try to imagine how the Gentiles were looked at as inferior. They were separated by religious practices, beliefs, language, mannerisms, dietary laws, occupations. They were separated physically from each other. In meal practices, they were not to associate with Gentiles. Even if the meals did not violate their dietary laws, because socializing with a Gentile could lead to intermarrying, and that's what happened with the Samaritans. They were often called dogs and unclean. In John 4:9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me a drink, a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. So you can see how the animosity, like, we don't associate with each other. And the Jews, as I said, prided themselves in their culture and their heritage. Verse 12 talks about the position of the Gentiles, or us. We were aliens. We were without Christ. We were strangers. No hope. Without God in a world. We had many gods, but we didn't know the one true God. So we see the Jews and the Gentiles. Earlier in chapter 2, there's a word "but." And we talked about that story in our lives, but God. How we were without Christ, but God came and redeemed us. And we all have a story. If you're a believer this morning, you all have a story of before Jesus and after Jesus. And here again in verse 14, there's another, verse 13, excuse me. It says, "But now in Christ, ye are sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of the Christ." Verse 14, "For he is our peace, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." What a beautiful picture of that wall that separated the Jew and the Gentile. It was obliterated. It was taken away. God showed his love to us when we were yet his enemy. You know, he brought peace between the Jew and the Gentile. There's a lot of hatred for the Jews and the Romans. We know that. He broke the enmity, which talks about, the word enmity means deep-seated hatred. I don't know if you have any deep-seated hatred towards anybody, but he came to bring peace. He brought peace between the Jew and the Gentile. He came to eliminate the barriers. He brought peace to our, in three things I see here. He brought peace to our bondage of sin. He broke that bondage of sin in our lives. He brought peace for our inner being, our peace, our soul is at rest. And he brings peace between man and man. He brings peace to between the Jew and the Gentile. He brought peace to the relationship between God and me, so I can have peace with my fellow men. So he broke that wall down for the Jew and the Gentile, so that all can come to Jesus on the same playing field. But not only that, there was animosity between the two, and he came to bring peace there as well. So not only is it vertical, but it's horizontal, the peace that Jesus brings. Paul had an audience that had the temple in mind. Now, if you can picture the temple had many walls of division, of sections where you couldn't go past. There was walls separating courts. There was the buying and selling area. There was a women's court, the courts of Israelites, the courts of the priest, the Holy of Holies, the presence where God dwelt, where the high priest only went in once a year. There was walls separating everything, separating people from people and people from God, the presence of God. Christ came and tore down those walls. He tore down those laws that were meant to bring people to God. All the laws, all the ordinances that they had to follow, he came and obliterated them. He tore them down so that we can come to him on the same basis, bowing and surrendering. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. God wiped out all those laws of coming to him. All those laws that were set up to come to God, to be acceptable to God. He did away with all of that. And now these two groups of people, the Jew and the Gentile, could come together on the same playing field. They broke down all those walls. Now, it may be hard for us to imagine here this morning because we didn't grow up in that culture of all the animosity, God's people, aliens. So we'd be aliens here this morning, and we're now acceptable to be a child of God. The Jews have to come the same way to God through Christ, his son, accepting his son. There's no rules to keep man from God anymore. There's only one rule that we have to accept, and that is we all must come through his son, Jesus Christ, to come to God. Can you imagine the years and years of animosity from generation to generation that may have been built up, that were torn down? The message of the cross is life-changing. It's a message of reconciliation. God, through Jesus, sent salvation to every man, the Jew and the Gentile as well. He knocked down those walls. And I believe he's calling us to knock down walls in our lives as well. Walls that divide us. Everyone is welcome to come. The Jews had to switch from a life altering laws to life changing power through Jesus Christ. They lived with laws all their lives, but they had to change their thinking to a life changing power through the cross of Jesus. Did we get that this morning? We all must come to the cross for the life changing power and not the life altering laws. The life altering laws did not work. It's the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. It affects every area of our life. Jesus came to break down those walls that divide us. The hatred, the enmity between men, the enmity that was between the Jew and the Gentile, he came to break that. And he came to break that in our lives as well. So my question is, why do we build walls? I want to show you a little video of something that has been in our recent history. Carl, if you're ready, you can run that soon. It's a story, just a little two-minute video of the story of the Berlin Wall. And this is election year, and there's a little snippet in there that may give some of you a warm, fuzzy feeling. So Carl, roll the video. Did you catch the warm, fuzzy feeling there? What an incredible story of a wall that divided a people, a nation, right down through the heart of Berlin. They built a wall overnight because people couldn't get along. People died trying to cross the wall. Walls is something that plagues our society in huge ways. Between people groups, walls have been built for years and years. In the last number of months, we've seen it play out in our country in the riots and the killings of officers and black and white, between the black and the white people. I believe it's stemming from the atrocities of the slavery era, of how the white man treated the black man, and healing never has taken place. We build walls in organizations, in schools, in businesses, churches, that what I'm a part of is better than what you're a part of. And it goes beyond the organization to where I personally, where you, I take it personally between you and me. There's walls of wealth. I remember going to school, when I was in school, there was the rich kids, there was the poor kids, there was the kids you didn't associate with. There was all kind of walls. And we became a people. We became a people walking around like this, where we were physically present with each other, but our walls were so high we couldn't relate to each other. There's walls that come with position in organizations, whether it's the president or the vice president or someone else in the organization. There's walls that can be put up. We can do it based on our dress, our appearance, our health, our commitment. Here's a big one: our ability, what I can do or what you can do. We build walls to keep people out or to keep from getting hurt. Now, I understand there's walls and there's boundaries, and I'm not an expert on either, but my heart is that I understand that boundaries are important for to protect, where protecting needs to be, where protection is needed, especially in children and the innocent. And against evil people, we need to put good boundaries in place. But the walls that keep us from relationship, I question why we have them. Is it so I don't need to forgive? I don't need to get too close? I don't need to be in association with them? Is it to keep people out so I don't need to deal with them? Why do we build walls? I'm not talking about walls to protect truth and that kind of thing. I'm talking about walls of relationship. Why we build walls. As Mennonites, as a Mennonite people, have we built walls in our culture? Thousands come to Lancaster County every year. What do they come for? Are they drawn by our love for people? Why do they come to Lancaster County? If we could make a list 1 through 10, what do you think the top one is? I'm just guessing. Lancaster County is probably known for their food, right? Probably their food. Maybe their quilts, their farmland, their neat places. But are we known for our love for people? I'm going to retell a story, and it's not going to be word for word, so I'm just going to paraphrase a story from a person I heard in this church who was recently at a place and had interaction with this lady. And through interaction, she found out that they had some things in common, so this person invited her to her house. And she said, you know, she was taken back because she was married to a Mennonite. She was Italian, married a Mennonite, and the Mennonite family almost ostracized her because she was not a Mennonite. And here this Mennonite lady, whom she didn't know, invited her into her house. And I'm thinking, wow, is that how we're known? Are we known to have walls that high that we can't invite people in? And in further dialogue with her, she said, why is it that when you're in town and you see some of your own people, you smile and even maybe talk to them, but other people you walk right by without an inviting gesture? Why do we build walls? What are we known for as a Mennonite people? Have we built walls that are keeping people out? That are keeping the very people out we're supposed to minister to? Like the Jews did. Just thinking of things that how we build walls. How about how we talk about other people? The Bible calls it gossip. I'm guilty of it. I distance myself from people by the way I talk about them. How about our social interaction with people? Do we have walls that we won't associate with certain people because of you fill in the blank? How about in our families? Is there things in our families, walls in our families that keep us from interacting with one another, keep us from really pursuing forgiveness or reconciliation? How about our churches, our businesses, our schools? Our marriages. How about brothers and sisters in the Lord? We all claim the power of the cross. He's come to break down the enmity between us and God, but we have it between man and man. We build our own walls. We become wall builders. We set ourselves up as better than others. And when we forget who God is and who we are, we can quickly resort to pride. I believe it's part of our fallen nature. Why do we forget so quickly the cross and the power of the cross? We claim to drink from the same well of forgiveness, yet build up walls. My heart cry this morning is, God forbid. Let us be reconcilers. Let us tear down the walls that divide us. Be reconcilers. Choose to forgive. Allow the power of the cross to change us. Jesus died to break the enmity between man. Think about it. He came to break the enmity, the hatred between men. He opened up the field, the salvation to everybody. And why the walls? Let's not be wall builders. Let's break down those walls. Life is too short, friends. Life is too short. I know all too well in our family that life is short. And we build up walls to keep people out. God is a reconciling God. God is not a wall builder. He breaks down walls. He doesn't build walls in relationships with people. I know recently our church is experiencing a hard journey. And my heart and my prayer is that we don't build walls with anyone. That we lead the way in reconciliation. being a reconciling people. Allow the life-changing power of Jesus to break down any walls we have that's keeping us from relationship with others. Brother to brother, sister to sister, husband to wife, child to parent, whatever it is. This morning we sang powerful songs about build your kingdom here. Part of building your kingdom here is showing the world what Jesus is all about. He came to break the enmity, the hatred between men. Let's not build walls between us. Let's lead the way and show the world what true good relationship is. I'm not going to take time, but James chapter 2 talks a lot about showing partiality and not showing partiality to anyone. Verse 1 says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." So we're here embracing the cross, the power of the cross, and we're holding a brother like this. God forbid. It doesn't work. Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the power, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek." So not only is it breaking, the power is there to break the chains between God and man, but also from man to man. Break those chains, break those walls. So I'll close with this question. Are there walls in my life that I have built up to keep people out, that I'm not willing to forgive or to move towards a relationship? Are there walls in my life that I've built to keep people out, that I'm not willing to forgive or to move towards a relationship? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as needy people. God, your message is so pointed, so sharp. We build walls between people yet embracing the cross. Lord, speak to our hearts today. I just pray that if there are walls we built up, that we allow you to tear it down. Tear them down, Lord. Do a work in our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's someone here struggling, you give them the strength they need to move towards reconciliation in any area. God, you know our hearts. Speak to us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.